in me.
Good evening to you. It's another Tuesday evening and we are live on Joy 99.7 FM. This is Geek Squad with your girl Adobia Brichum. Just before we came and got ready for tonight's show, I was just asking Evans if he is fluent in his native language. And he mentioned that yes, he can somehow read and he can speak fluently. And I think it's the case for most of us. But this evening, we want to just talk about how we can use AI just to revolutionize the learning experience for us when it comes to our local languages. Geek Squad is brought to you by MTN. MTN, everywhere you go. And tonight, I have some two interesting gentlemen that I'm going to be having this discussion with. They would be sharing with me how they are using AI to set up how we can learn our native languages, or our Ghanaian languages, actually. Our Ghanaian languages. We are live on YouTube and on Facebook at Joy 99.7 FM. At Joy 99.7 FM. You can just hop on there if you have the opportunity to just watch us live on YouTube and on Facebook. Now, I just want to find out from you. You probably have heard about AI. What are your thoughts when you hear AI? Do you see it as something that is a threat or you see it as an opportunity? Let me hear from you. You can send us your message on the WhatsApp number 055-1111-997, 055-1111-997. When you hear AI, what comes to your mind? Do you see it as a threat or an opportunity? Or maybe you are just in between. Let me hear from you by sending us your message on the WhatsApp number 055-1111-997. Now, I would like to share with you what is happening in the tech space for the past week. So why not take a listen to the emerging tech trends? When we are back, we will be getting into our conversation for tonight.
And welcome to Emerging Tech Trends on Joy Geek Squad. In today's trends, Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years for FTX fraud. Updates to Google Maps and search make it easier to plan your next outing. A quarter of YouTube's paid creators are earning money with Shorts. And finally, Google is bringing satellite messaging to Android 15. Let's get into the details. Sam Bankman-Fried, co-founder of FTX, has been sentenced to 25 years in prison for 7 charges related to conspiracy and fraud following the collapse of the crypto exchange he started. The judge applied a 240-month sentence to 4 of the charges and a 60-month sentence to the remaining 2. Bankman-Fried has also been ordered to forfeit over $11 billion, including property, as per the prosecutor's recommendation. Google is releasing updates to simplify trip planning, including AI-generated itineraries in search, translation features, and curated recommendations in Maps. Maps will now suggest places to eat and visit in over 40 cities across the US and Canada with algorithmically generated list of trending, top, and gems. A year after YouTube enabled revenue sharing for short-form videos, over a quarter of creators in the partner program are earning money from YouTube Shorts. This equates to approximately 750,000 Shorts creators out of the 3 million creators in YouTube's ad sharing program. And finally, Google's Android 15-second developer preview is out, featuring support for satellite connectivity, improved contactless payment, multi-language recognition, volume consistency, and app interactions with PDF. These developer betas test features for the...
Imagine strutting into the most anticipated wedding of the year, only to see 7 other girls wearing your exact same outfit.
Are special and one of a kind, and that's why whether it's voice, data or SMS, you get to enjoy personalized offers tailored to your specific needs with MTN Just For You. Dial *141# or select your options on the My MTN app to redeem your unique Just For You package on Ghana's best mobile network. MTN.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And
welcome back. This is Geek Squad with your girl Adubia Brichum. This evening we are having a conversation on how we can use the power of AI technology to revolutionize the language learning in Ghana. And I have with me two gentlemen and we are going to be having this discussion. And the first guest I have is Paul Azuri. He is the co-founder and director of research. And Paul is joining me. Paul, you're welcome. Okay, Paul, you're welcome. Welcome to Geek Squad.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Great. I also have with me Lawrence Edujemfi, and he also is the director of products. Lawrence, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
Great. Good to be here. So tonight we want to have a conversation about how we can just change language learning in Ghana using the power of AI technology. So for someone listening to us who doesn't really know about AI technology, like for a layperson and just wondering, we've been hearing AI, what is it at all? What can we give as a definition for that? I'll start with you, Paul.
I think the name AI is a little bit of a misnomer. When I think of AI, I think of automation. So things that the computer can do to kind of speed up or help us to do our tasks. So particularly, we work on the kind of AI that has to do with language, as you mentioned. So translating a lot of texts from language to another automatically using a computer program, or translating a voice in one language into another voice and that sort of thing.
Okay. So I think for someone just listening to us who doesn't really know much, like you said, it's just a way of making things easier for us. So the question right now would be, what just sparked this interest, the use of AI when it comes to learning languages? I'll come to you, Lawrence.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you. So yeah, You're right. It looks like it's being talked about a lot, but there have been several in the course in terms of the history of AI in the field of computer science. Up to now, it's started way back. And then if I were to go directly to your question about why it's becoming a lot more, it's being talked about a lot more now, I would say one of the easiest answers would be that now it's probably within the reach of so many people. A lot of people are able to access it, so then it's easy to get it in the news, which is different from, let's say, previously you were the barrier was a bit high. You know, you needed a bit more computer programming knowledge or computer science, but compared to now, that it's sort of which was expected, it's easier for a lot more people to access it.
Okay, you wanted to add something to that, Paul?
Yeah, and I would say, yeah, and it's one of the reasons it's easier to access is due to the number of breakthroughs that have recently happened. So the field has advanced through its stages due to various technological advancements, right? So first of all, there was the GPU, which people used for playing video games, but then realized that we could use it to train these models very fast. So now all of a sudden we had this technology we could use to train models. Everybody had it in their home. Yep. And so it became easier to do. The internet came around, there was a lot of data. So now we can train models, we have the compute. And so it's now beginning to appear in a lot of different applications which kind of capture the imagination of the public.
Got you. So yeah. Ghana NLP, and I see that there are some applications that you have built. I think I downloaded the Kaya And then I checked. So what just informed the languages that that's are on there? The choice of the languages, well, yeah.
Right. So first of all, I should say that our goal is to cover the entire map of the country. So have every single language present in the app. Why is this important? This is because we have to preserve our knowledge. Imagine or preserve the knowledge of us, preserve our culture. And, you know, like if you think about, say, how do we learn about the existence of, say, the ancient Egyptians, mm-hmm. right? It's through the writings that they did on the walls of the, you know, of the pyramids and the various scripts that they developed, right? This is how we are able to reconstruct who they were and so on. In the future, since the world is moving towards this digital paradigm,
yeah.
it's going to be what did we register digitally, right? About our culture, about who we are, about our language, right? So that in the future, somebody can reconstruct who we were. This is one way of thinking about it. Or our children, right? They may not know the language, our languages. Maybe in 100 years, it may be hard to find a record of our languages. Programs like this will exist so that they can reconnect with their culture. People in the diaspora can reconnect with their culture that the, you know, their ancestors left behind and that kind of stuff. Now, the choice of language, why? How is it driven? We want to cover everything, but there are practical limitations to what we can do based on what's out there, for example. What kind of data is already out there? And it just tends to be the case, obviously, if for languages that have bigger populations,
mm-hmm.
They tend to have bigger economies. People over time, like a company like Google, for example, will probably invest in a language like Chi before a language like Frafra or Gorne, right? Because there are more speakers there. There are more users of the app.
Yeah.
And so they can make more money. And so as a result of this kind of fact, some languages just have more resources available for us to draw on. So Chi is the first one. Then Ewe, there are resources for that. You know, Dagbani is good because it's a big language in the north and it's important for our, you know, farming and so on. So over time, like the Bible was translated into Dagbani and so on. And these are all resources we can draw on.
Got you. So can we talk just a little bit about the app? If someone is just listening to us and just wondering what we are talking about. So can we talk a little bit about it and how it can be used before we even get to the AI side of things? Lawrence.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, the one of our flagship applications is the Kaya. It used to be the translation application, but now over time we've added a lot more features. So it can not only do translation. When we talk about translation, what we are saying is, you know, if you have someone speaking English or writing in English, you can get it written or translated into any of the local languages we provide now. Which is, we've got, like Paul mentioned, we've got Asante Tree, Fanti, we've got Ewe, we've got Ga, we've got Dagbani, we've got Gurun, we've got three other Kenyan languages as well, and then one Yoruba from Nigeria as well. And so over time, we've added also what we call speech recognition, which means like now you can, for some of these languages, you can actually speak into it, and then we can capture it in text and then do the translation. And recently, we've added the possibility for, which is currently, we have it for Tree now, but then we are planning to add it for all the other languages. We can have it. So for instance, and Paul did an amazing demo actually today, which is available online, where imagine someone who cannot speak any of these local languages, but mm-hmm. can pose questions in English, have it translated into their local language. So it could be Tree, let's take Asante Tree for instance, and then have it spoken to the person. So, you know, they can have a, you can have a proper conversation, end-to-end conversation with that. So these are, let's say, the three main features we provide. Translate, be able to recognize people's voices or talking, the speech that you're saying, and then be able to convert text back to speech to them. This is, let's say, a summary of what the Kaya application does.
Okay. So for someone listening to us, the Kaya is spelled as K-H-A-Y-A. So just in case you want to just check this
out. That's correct.
Yeah. So I think what I just noticed was that it gave me the option to do the translation. Does it mean that for the other features that you've spoken about, is it on the pro version or because I downloaded the app and then just tried to see how I can use it, but I got the option just to do the translation.
So the the speech generation part that Lawrence was talking about, mm-hmm. right now it's only available in the web app.
Okay.
So if you go to the link translate.ghananlp.org translate.ghananlp.org, you will get the capability to translate, do speech recognition, and do speech generation.
Okay.
We are going to add those features into the app, but yes, we have been discussing that same issue. This stuff does cost money to do. So we are thinking we are going to the speech generation part will be available as a premium option within the app. It's very seamless there. It's not very expensive. It's just like $1 a month or $10 a year. So it's just something that we can then take and use to, say, generate more data to pay for the servers that are running all these things.
Okay, yes. Okay.
But it's important to say, though, that it is free on the web application. You have all these for free. And actually, in the mobile application, you will see if you were to do translating from Tree, you will see a little microphone next to it. You know, you can still actually that speech recognition part for the local languages is accessible in the mobile application. So the main part that's missing for now is the text generation part.
Okay.
Like speech.
Okay. Okay. All right. So is there a particular target audience? Is it mainly for people who are living here in Ghana, or is it something that you're looking at those who are just living outside the country that they're able to learn the language? I think you made it clear that at least we need to have our language documented for future and all that. But for now, are we looking at just natives of the country, those who are here, or is there's a particular target audience that you're looking at?
I think all of the above.
All of
right?
the above.
So all of the above and more, because what we also provide is an API, which means there are some companies, maybe I shouldn't mention their names yet, but there are a lot of companies in Ghana who are interested in having this capability as part of their products,
okay.
right? So somebody may have a lot of phone calls they want to transcribe into text so that they can do some kind of data mining on it. Somebody may want to, you know, even YouTube, if you think about YouTube, right? You may want to transcribe it so that you can have the subtitles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or you may want to generate tutorials and you may not have time to go to the studio and, you know, the quality coming from our text speech generation is good enough, right? So all of these people have the capability to use our API, build products on top of them, and pay us a small fee. So whatever your application is, whether it's, you know, whether you're a foreigner, want to do language learning, you are a native, want to learn the foreign language, or anything in between, you can build that using our tools.
Got you.
Yeah,
got you.
One other interesting part as well is if we take, let's say, the government agencies who want to do civic education, for instance, you know, the idea that you can have content generated in one language and have it translated easily to several other local languages, you know, have it generated in several other local languages for health as well. This could be used for agriculture. This could be used as well. So one of the big things, now you can clearly see the mobile application, like what Paul mentioned, one huge part which makes this grow very well is the programming interface you talked about. This is where now people can, who want to do different things. We use the mobile app to demonstrate, you know, using this programming interface, but other companies can say, okay, I want to build a language learning app like Duolingo, but for Tree or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
then they can just say, okay, someone can speak into it. I can speak back the language to them. They can write and all that stuff.
I plan my lessons.
Yeah.
I see that. So how can AI right now, the technology, enhance the traditional language learning methods that we currently have? Because right now, I remember back then in school, we would go and we'll have a teacher take us through the lessons, how to pronounce the words, and then finally we would even sit for exams. But right now with the AI technology, how are we going to have these teaching methods evolving for us as a country?
I can say some things about that. First of all, there is a project we are working on where you can actually, did you know that a two-year-old child can learn to read? And there's a very specific way to teach them how to do that. And that's by associating the sound of your words with their written form, right?
Okay.
And you can use that to teach languages or, you know, English or whatever language. And so what this technology enables you to do is imagine a tool for a teacher in the classroom where as they speak, the system recognizes their speech and writes the word on a big board for the children to see, right? And so as you keep repeating the word and they see the way it's written, so that they associate the sound with the writing, they actually learn to read very quickly. So this is one way, an example of a technology that can and also make it fun, right? Instead of like forcing the children to do something they don't like, it's very interactive because they're looking at the teacher, right? So that's one thing I wanted to say. The other thing I wanted to say is that for me personally, the motivation for starting working in this field was to learn my father's language.
Okay.
So I am from the Upper East region, Frafra.
I think I was going to even ask you that, because for someone listening with how you sound, they probably would be wondering, and maybe even they even see you right now on video, they'll be wondering if you were Ghanaian. So it's good you're just bringing it up.
Right. So my dad is Ghanaian.
Okay.
I am Ghanaian.
Okay.
I went to school in Ghana and stuff like that, but you know, I went to school in Kumasi.
Okay.
But we are from the Upper East.
Okay.
So I actually know my tree is better than my gorne, right?
Okay.
Now, because I was never, during the time that I was learning the language, the critical period, first of all, there was no place I could get a formal education. And second of all, I wasn't even physically in the area. So by the time I was very interested in learning the language, I had no tools. I had nowhere to go. I didn't have literature, right? There was nothing I could use to practice on my own. And I'm a very kind of like, you know, I'm kind of like more an introvert, right? Some people like to interact. Sometimes I want to be able to practice these things on my own before I go and practice with somebody else, right? And so these tools enable a lot of people. So now I'm very excited that I'm actually, there's a very good chance I'll be able to learn the language very well because these tools are now becoming available for that language.
Got you. So can parents use this to teach their children?
Yeah, well, as it stands now, they needs to be a bit of work for us to get to that level where it can be. And but then if to talk about using this for teaching, for instance, I think one important thing is imagine trying to teach a kid or a child about atoms or most of these complicated things in a language that they do not even understand. You know, the kid is struggling to understand English already, and then you're trying to teach them on top of that atoms. So one interesting thing here is the fact that, and I think you cannot blame the teacher because he doesn't know how to translate these in the local language. But then if now a teacher can have a textbook that is translated in a local language in a way that they can, you know, demonstrate atoms to the child or whatever we're talking about, or that scientific mathematical concept to the child in their local language, and then from there, you know, move them on to the English level. So this is one interesting let's say barrier that we could be breached in the education sector, as in teaching the child the concept in the language that they can understand. And I mean, these tools are aiming to make it easier for people to have access to that kind of information in a language that they understand, you know, before, so that they can, you know, let's say understand what's being taught. And for sure, I mean, eventually, like we said, these type of tools can be built on top of the programming interfaces we are building. And this could be used in several ways. Their parents could eventually adapt it. Schools could adapt it in their curriculum to teach students.
Okay.
So. And I think one of the things you will learn if you read the reviews of the app, let's say on Android, is that a lot of people in the diaspora are already using it to learn or reconnect, or sometimes to show to their kids how to say words and stuff.
Okay, okay. What were some of the challenges you had during this project and setting this up?
Everything always comes down to money and funding, I would say. And that's a constant battle we've been fighting from the beginning. We continue fighting it. It's getting better, but it's really, this stuff doesn't it doesn't succeed based on, you know, people saying good job, right, and patting you on the back. It succeeds if there's money, because it costs money to run the servers. It costs money, like when you go to the app, there's a server somewhere that we are paying for that's running all these algorithms for you to interact with, right? And it costs money to do that. So we need to figure out ways to fund the stuff in a self-sustaining way. There are a lot of challenges with that, right? Because, you know, there are challenges with getting funding from government, there are challenges from getting funding from the private sector. Everybody has their own agenda, right? So how do you do this in a way that actually benefits the community? Because let's say, one option available to us is to, build a tech startup, right, and sell it to the highest bidder, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the right approach? Let's say if the highest bidder is a foreigner, they're essentially owning our culture, right? Mm-hmm. An expression of our culture that can be used to, say, manipulate elections, generate fake news. These are very serious questions that have implications for our national security and so on. So doing this the right way, in a sustaining way, is definitely challenging, and everything comes down to money.
Got you. So were there some cultural considerations that you made when you were implementing the application that you have, in Ghana, AI, sometimes the learning models that has to be done? Were there some cultural considerations that you had to do in setting this up?
Sorry, what do you mean by cultural considerations?
So, we have our culture as Ghanaians, right? And then when it comes to the use of AI technology and in learning the language, were there specific things that you had to consider in terms of the languages, certain words, expressions?
So I think during our data collection processes, so mm-hmm. the way this works is, for example, to create a text translator mm-hmm. between one language and another language, you need to create many examples, right, of, say, English sentence and tree sentence. Now, there are certain parts of that you need to be able to cover. Let's say somebody insults you, right? Mm-hmm. How do you translate it in a way that conveys the meaning? Because you probably should know someone is insulting you. Yeah. Maybe you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
But not in a way that will offend. Because, our expression, let's say in tree, the way our elders express themselves about certain things, they need to be said in a gentler way, not to offend, right? So, yes, so during the data creation phase, it's very important, and this is one of the reasons why Lawrence cautioned that, we need a little bit more work before we start, let's say, giving this to children and forgetting about it, right? You should be supervised, because these systems do have a lot of risks associated with them, right? So the systems, for example, that ChatGPT can produce racist content or sexist content, right? Mm-hmm. Or xenophobic content in some other sense, right? So it's very important to have safeguards. And yes, one of the reasons why it's important that Ghanaians are the ones building these technologies is because often, let's say somebody sitting in Mountain View in California from Google may just not understand some of these things. And so the tools will not serve our needs. Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah. And if I can jump on that quickly.
Yes, Lawrence.
So basically, if I were to try to simplify what we have done, is if you imagine somebody who knows, let's say, a lot of languages in the world, the person doesn't know tree yet. And then we show this person an English sentence, a tree sentence, lots of them, English tree. And so this person forms an idea of, okay, this is how generally the sentences in tree are constructed. And if you want to move between English and tree, this is how I need to. But then you also want to be able to let the person know that this is usually when Ghanaians are talking or when people are speaking tree, they mix a bit of English with it, or mm-hmm. these are the words that they typically use. Mm-hmm. When you're talking in finance, these are the words they use, So when you ask about cultural consideration, these are the sort of things we try to consider to say we want the models to learn how people will actually talk, that we do what we call code switching. As we mix English and tree, we say this in this way. And so these are the sort of considerations we would probably consider in addition to what Paul was saying.
Got you. So just talking about AI technology in general, and then the type of research that you have done, and then even with this application. So how does the technology help learners to overcome certain common language learning obstacles, like the pronunciation and then the grammar? Because a lot of people can speak their local languages, but is it really the right thing? Like when it comes to the grammar example, the way we can speak English and you can determine that this is right grammar, this person is not constructing the English language sentence in the right way. How are you able to use AI to do this too?
So just like in English, you have autocorrect, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. when you're typing in, Word, it does a red underline when you said something wrong and yes. recommends a better way to say it.
Yes.
You can build those same exact tools in our local languages using some of the tech we're building. So, and this is actually one of the considerations that has to be balanced because the first model that we shipped was very rigid in terms of grammar, right? If you put in something using the non-standard characters and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
it'll get confused, right? Now, somebody would argue that's the best way to teach a language, because if you didn't get it right, you shouldn't be able to, right? it shouldn't be successful. However, our users told us that for convenience, they need to be able to enter some of these other ways of speaking, right? So using three instead of the right character,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Using brackets instead of all,
yes,
right?
Yes.
They need to be able to do that just to move quickly, right? So then maybe we are considering having multiple models, right? One that's strictly adherent to grammar and one that, is more like about
flexible
utility and speed, right?
Got you. If you're just joining us, this is Gizquad with your girl, Adobia Bridgham. And this evening, we are having a conversation on how we can revolutionize learning languages using the power of AI technology. I've had with me in the studio two gentlemen who work with Ghana NLP, Paul Azure and Lawrence Edujemfi. And so far, they've been sharing with us how we can use AI to do this. And they actually do have an app, which is Kaya, K-H-A-Y-A. And with this, you're able to translate English language into a number of local languages. You're looking at extending it. We'll be getting into some more discussion. Some people are just wondering that AI is going to take over their jobs. And if someone is a teacher and probably teaching local languages, we want to get into this right after this break.
Imagine strutting into the most anticipated wedding of the year, only to see seven other girls wearing your exact same outfit.
Are special and one of a kind, and that's why whether it's voice, data or SMS, you get to enjoy personalized offers tailored to your specific needs with MTN Just For You. Dial *141# or select your options on the My MTN app to redeem your unique Just For You package on Ghana's best mobile network, MTN.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is Geek Squad with your girl, Adobia Bridgham. This evening, we are having a conversation on how we can revolutionize language learning in Ghana using the power of AI technology. And I've had with me in the studio Paul Azure, who is the co-founder and director of research at Ghana NLP, and Lawrence Edujemfi, who is the director of product at Ghana NLP. And they have been sharing with us what they have done with the Ghanaian local languages. Some of the local languages they already have on an app, which is Kaya, K-H-A-Y-A. And just before we went on the break, we just touched on the fact that a lot of people are just in a state of wondering, will they just be taken over by AI? But we want to touch on the benefits, because looking at what you have spoken about right now, there's a lot that can be done with the power of AI technology when it comes to learning our local language. And then, as you even indicated from your earlier submission, we are documenting our language. So in the future, because the truth is that even in certain homes right now, the children are all speaking English. Sometimes it's even difficult for them to speak their local languages. But then we are on the tablets, we are on the phones, we are on the laptops, and we do other things. They're playing games and going on social media and all that. If there is an application where we can learn a local language, I believe it is a plus for us. So we want to touch on some of the benefits that we have using AI technology to even come up with these applications where we can learn our local languages. So I'll start with you, Paul. What are some of the benefits that we have if we are going to be tapping into the power of AI technology to build these applications?
So the first thing I wanted to touch on before I get to that is, should people be afraid?
Yes,
I think
yes,
you mentioned
yes,
a lot
yes,
of people
think,
are
yes,
afraid
yes.
that they'll lose their job.
Yes.
I think it's a legitimate fear. You should evaluate what you're doing and see how you can benefit from using these tools. Why? Because there is a huge opportunity. One way to look at this is to look at it and be scared of it and to ignore it, and then it will definitely crush you.
Yes, and
but
just
if you
just before I let you go
it.
Into that, yes, just before I let you go into that, I was even asking our listeners, let me hear from you what your thoughts are on this. You can send us your WhatsApp message on the number 055-1111-997. Are you in that space of being afraid of it? Do you see it as a threat, or do you see it as an opportunity for you to learn and become better? Kindly go ahead, Paul.
Yes. So I think for those who grab the opportunity, it will enable them to become a lot more productive, to do certain things that maybe were tedious faster, and create more values, which will translate into more job opportunities, right? For those people who ignore this, this may be a risk. And so one of the examples I'll give, but what I want to stress is that none of these technologies are replacing human beings anytime soon.
Yes.
That is really kind of hype that a lot of these companies use to scare governments into getting the right type of regulation and to raising money. Because, of course, if people think you are, you know, so important, right, they're more likely to fund you, right? So it's all a kind of like a hype, overhype, a business tactic. The reality is none of these technologies are going to replace us anytime soon.
Yeah.
One example I like to give is, you know, recently a lot of music artists started using AI art in their cover art.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, the way this manifested for artists is that they got a lot less jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Initially. But very soon people learned that this stuff is just cheap. It's not as good as an artist, a human sitting down actually drawing exactly what the artist wants.
Yeah.
So over time, you see that in a way, it made the work that human artists do now more appreciated, because like, oh, okay, so I don't know, even this AI stuff cannot actually do it as well as. And, you know, those people who have seen this early and are beginning to invest in human art are actually now distinguishing themselves more than the ones who are still using the cheap stuff.
Yeah.
So all of this, it's a complex problem that we need to all be aware of, but if we embrace it, there are lots of opportunities here. So I'll let Lawrence say some stuff on this.
Got you. All right, so, Lawrence, yes. I'll touch
on the part of the benefits in that case, and I'll try to focus on our particular case in Ghana, or let's say, in Ghana, for instance, especially with what we are doing in Ghana NLP. And one important benefit we would say is the preservation of our language. Paul touched a lot on this in the beginning. I think it's super important that we make this clear, that, you know, before in the beginning of the interview, we talked about AI being on the lips of people now because of access. And then again, you do ask yourself that if we are talking about access to all Ghanaians, are they all going to be able to access what's being provided by AI? You know, somebody can, they don't read or write, you know, tree. So even if you are still translating to tree, they're like, okay, what do I do with this? And this was one of the big questions we asked ourselves, that yeah, we are providing translating capability for people, but we saw also that when people are not, and you asked one of the co-hosts at the beginning, if mm-hmm. how well they can write the language or read
yes,
it, you know?
Yes, yes.
And if you look at the stats from the Ghana Statistical Service, they are like, I think it's less than 10 or 11% of Ghanaians who are literate in the, I could be wrong with this number, but there is a very low number of Ghanaians who are considered literate in the local language.
Local languages.
You know? So we are like, we asked ourselves, okay, how do we get people on board? This is how come we pushed a lot on, let's say, speech recognition and then the text to speech, to say that, okay, now we should be able to let people be able to input the text using the speech, and also we should be able to speak the audio back to them. So this, in one way, it's taking advantage of tools provided by AI to provide accessibility to people who otherwise would be unreached. And so these are just one in the corner of, let's say, natural language processing. Then again, afterwards, we can talk about education, you know. And I think when we talk about preservation of language, one thing that's important, like you rightly said, in most homes, people are just speaking English to their children, or people are just speaking English amongst themselves. I think mm-hmm. one thing that we will probably realize soon, that we do not just need to speak English. We need to just speak English as another language. You know, it's just like you go, you are in France or in Italy, and the person's like, yeah, I'm Italian, I speak Italian, but I also speak English. Soon people will say, well, I speak tree, but I also speak English, not just because I speak English. And this is what we are trying to do with the work we are doing here, by preserving our language, making sure it is there when people come to that realization.
Got you. So there's just that need for us to even preserve our language, like you're saying. And I like what, Paul, you also touched on earlier, the fact that AI is not going to be replacing our work right now. And I think that's one of the things that usually people fear. Because when it comes to artificial intelligence, it is the fact that we are letting these machines act or mimic human intelligence, but then they do it in a faster manner. Yes, and that is not to say that we will not have humans doing what they do. And you even gave the example with the artists, where now we are coming to appreciate the humans who are rather doing their work and taking their time to do that. We have a message, and I'm going to go ahead and read the message. This message is from Chrissy Mousy. He says, hi, thank you for this great program. I'm very elated that such a technology is now available to positively affect our local languages. I embrace it fully and would want to know more about its usage. Please help me get their contact. Thank you. I love the program. Okay. Reverend Joseph Ahiabo. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing with us. There's also another message. This one says, hello, Geese. Can you ask your guest if it's in their plan to liaise with, say, Ghana School of Languages to release new vocabulary in the local languages so as to expand the language? So that's a question from someone. Is it part of your plan to liaise with the Ghana School of Languages to release new vocabulary in the local languages so as to expand the language? And then he's also asking, have you an inbuilt local language dictionary? Okay, asking whether there's any inbuilt local languages dictionary into the application that you have. So the first question, I hope you got that, whether you're going to have.
Yes.
Okay.
So we are always looking to partner with organizations that want to work on this. And the one that was mentioned, Institute of Languages, has come up a lot. And we've actually even read their manuals and stuff. They've been very useful. It's about having, a lot of the times, about knowing somebody and having a relationship with them and building some kind of rapport. So that's what we don't have with this particular institution right now. But if we were to find it, we would embrace it. A lot of the time, I'll bring it back to the funding question. So that this is a not an easy project, right? So there are other projects in other parts of Africa doing this, where basically for the science vocabulary, like black holes and relativity and stuff, what are the words, which words should we use to describe them in local languages? You need people to sit down and decide this. They need to be paid for their work, right? And this entire thing has to be funded, otherwise it can't happen. Right now, we do not have the resources to pull that off. We're always looking for them. So if everything comes together, yes, this is all along the things we'll be doing over the next few years. Yes. And maybe Lawrence can take the other one.
On the question of an inbuilt dictionary, that's interesting, actually. We do not have a dictionary in the traditional form of dictionary, as I'm guessing the listener was asking about. But then that's the one thing you ask yourself is, when was the last time you looked in an English dictionary as well, you know? And probably what you would seek to do in an English dictionary, you can probably do it here as well. And if you want to go between, you know, how can I say this word, which I say this way in English, how can I say it this way in Ewe or Ga? These are the sort of things we can, you know, what we are providing. Let's say the application which Kaya we do can provide for you. You know, you can see this thing. But to answer the question, we do not have an inbuilt dictionary. But the interesting thing here, if I can just go a bit on the tangent, is that what is interesting to say here is that these models we've trained have learned the patterns between these English words and these words in the local language, in Fanti or Gurun or whatever. And that's what's being demonstrated whenever you are using our application. And then afterwards, we imagine other people can build several things on top of the APIs that we talked about earlier as well.
Including a dictionary.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This is Geek Squad with Ado Bia Brichum, and we are having a conversation on using the power of AI technology to revolutionize our local languages. We'll quickly take the quick tech fixes, and then when we are back, we will be concluding on our discussion for tonight.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Ejekum, and I bring you some tech quick fixes and tips here on Geek Squad. Sharing file with Nearby Share on Android is a breeze, and it's a great alternative to Bluetooth or traditional file sharing methods. To use Nearby Share on Android, follow these steps. 1. Make sure that both devices have Nearby Share turned on and are close to each other. 2. Choose the file you want to share and tap on the share button. 3. Look for the Nearby Share icon in the share menu and tap on it. 4. Select the device you want to share the file with. 5. The recipient will receive a notification and can choose to accept or decline the file. And that's it. So go on and use Nearby Share on Android, as it makes it easy and convenient.
Welcome back. This is Geek Squad with your girl, Adobia Breaching. We are having a conversation on using AI to revolutionize our local language when it comes to the learning of the local languages. We have some messages from you, and we'll be reading that right now. Good evening. I'm listening to you and your guest from Obuasi. It is a very interesting discussion. AI is the key for development now. This is where the world has reached. The earlier we grab this opportunity, the better. Once again, bravo for your educative discussions. This is from Charles Owusu Ansa Obuasi. Thank you so much, Charles. We also have another message. Good evening. Would it not be possible to introduce AI in the course content in the Ghana Institute of Languages? This is from Kwesi in Kaswa. We also have another message. Hello, geeks. We also have another message. Initially, this is Emmanuel Tieno from Asamankes. He said, initially, I heard of AI as a digital advancement that will cause harm to humanity. But after attending a workshop on how it can be harnessed to leverage on education, my perception has changed to a positive one. Thank you so much, Emmanuel, for that. We will be coming back to our guest now. So can you just wrap up within 30 seconds, Paul, your final words?
My final words are, there is a lot of opportunity this is like a crucial time. If we grab the bull by the horns, we can actually build a new economy. We can create a lot of jobs, and we can solve a lot of really serious problems we have in our society, including literacy, healthcare, and throughout the economy. Now, but there is also a chance to lose this opportunity if we do not act the right way. If we allow, let's say, foreign companies to own all the tech that has to do with us, and we don't make sure that the benefits of this tech flows back to our society, our community,
thank you,
they'll be very glad to take it. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Paul.